When you listen to the music of Belle and Sebastian, one of the first things you notice is the playful way they use the language.
Dear catastrophe waitress, dear catastrophe waitress, I'm sorry if you seem to have the weight of the world over you.
Dear Catastrophe Waitress is the title track from Belle and Sebastian's new album. After listening to the song, I'm still not sure what inspired it, but I do feel like I must have met that waitress somewhere in my life. This band, with an international following, started as a college project in Scotland. Stow College in Glasgow has a business class on the music industry. Band leader Stuart Murdoch says the students pick local bands and learn how to promote them.
At the end of 1995, they happened to get hold of a demo tape of mine, and the students in the class sort of voted for that demo tape to become their project for the year.
And it turned out there was a talent scout for a real record label who was in this class that was going to pretend to be a record label.
Yeah, it's funny the way things work out. He became our manager.
You're a honey with the following of innocent boys. They never know it because you never show it. You always get your way.
That's the 1990s sound of Belle and Sebastian, which won wide acclaim from critics. For their latest recording, they did something different. They worked with pop producer Trevor Horn, who has shaped bands ranging from Yes to the Pet Shop Boys. Together, they've now created a bigger sound that can seem like it came straight out of some earlier decade. Belle and Sebastian has 7 members, not one of whom is named Belle or Sebastian. It would be hard for most people to know this since the band members avoided giving interviews for years. Now that they've become more public, band leader Stuart Murdoch wants to explain their long silence.
A lot of people in the group are quite young, and they're suddenly thrust into this whole band thing, and they didn't expect to be in bands. And then suddenly we're getting all this attention, and it can freak people out. And I wasn't about to start making it any worse. I mean, I used to have a job all the time. I only just gave up my job, you know, a year or so ago. I worked in a church, and the rest of the band had jobs as well. We only really became full-time. We could only afford to be full-time, you know, a couple of years ago.
What were you doing in a church?
Well, I was the janitor.
I thought you might say, you know, organist, choir director.
No, I'm in the choir, but...
But you cleaned up.
I was cleaning up, that's right.
If I could do just one imperfect thing, I'd be happy. Be raided on my grave or when they scattered my ashes. On second thoughts, I'd rather hang around and be there with my best friend if she wants me. If she wants me, yeah. If she wants me.
How does your group compose music?
These days we do make an effort to try and bring in pieces of music, bits and pieces, so that we can capture the sort of energy of the group, the energy of each individual member. There was one track, Stay Loose, which is the last track, rather an epic, on the record, which we left for the studio.
What do you mean you left it for the studio?
We left it in bits. It was a construction site. We knew all the component parts, but we couldn't make it work.
And so you just said, when we get to the studio, we'll try to make this fit together then.
That's it.
And do you feel that you did in the end?
The jury's still out. Right up until the last minute, the producer Trevor was trying to convince us to leave the song off the record.
He was choking on a cornflake. He said, have some toast instead.
It wasn't so much an argument about the song, it was more about whether it was any good or not. And the producer doubted this, and I could see his point, because it would be the last song I would pick off that record if I was to stand up in a pub and try to entertain people on a Saturday afternoon with an acoustic guitar, which is sometimes a good judge of how good a song is. But maybe we have succeeded, because it's probably one of the ones in the record that you might think was quite different.
Yet something about this song must have grabbed you enough that you insisted on developing it and insisted on keeping it on the record.
I think you've got a good point there. It was maybe an obstinate choice, but the thing that was driving us on was that it was different, and that was, as Stevie says, Stevie, our guitar player, saying, this is vital. I nearly got battered by the rest of the group, and Stevie rightly said, why would you leave off the most different and diverse song that we've done for a while? And he was right. I think he's right.
You guys, do you actually argue? Do you yell and scream? Do you fight? Do you throw sheet music at each other?
Yes, we do. We argue and fight. But we're reasonable about things. I think we, instead of actually striking one another, and that doesn't happen very often, we do tend to... It doesn't happen very often. We do tend to internalize, so we take our feelings home with us.
Has anger been a creative force for you at all?
Never at the outset of the group, but maybe a couple of times in the last sort of year and a half or something.
In the last year and a half?
Yes.
What's changed?
Well, maybe I've learned not to internalize too much. It's bad for your health.
So you guys yell a little bit more than you did in the past?
I think we do, yeah.
And maybe once in a while that's been helpful, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Stuart Murdoch is the leader of Bell and Sebastian. He's at KQED in San Francisco. Mr. Murdoch, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Steve. Pleasure.